Hi, my name is Jared. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not about to get into the fact that this last week, my wife visited a friend who said they enjoy this podcast, but then complained about my inconsistent release schedule. I'm working on it, okay? I just read the book Hyperfocus for this very reason. Cut me some slack. I'm not going to talk about this anymore. No, I'm just a Christian who, like many, lives with a mental health challenge. This is Bless This Brain. In the last episode, I talked about the fact that some people have led really fortunate lives. What I mean by that is childhoods filled with positive experiences as opposed to what's called adverse childhood experiences. Praise God that some of us never knew what it was like to be worried about food or housing or had to deal with the pain of parental divorce or grew up in homes that were largely places that felt unsafe. Instead, some individuals grow up in homes of intense stability. Everyone experiences challenges at different points. The world is broken. And no doubt everyone has known what it was like to be scared growing up. But still, those fears were drops in an ocean of joyful traditions, emotionally intelligent parents, housing security, food security, educational security. And for those of you who had this experience, it wasn't just for the purpose of growing up to use your good fortune to advance your own well-being. As a member of a faith community, you've been uniquely equipped to provide positive experiences for children for whom those experiences have been absent. Jesus cares about children. Praise God we have a God who was a child at one point. How wonderful and mysterious. He had friends. He grew up in a scary time, and no doubt he witnessed what adverse childhood experiences did to those in his childhood social circle. And as an adult, he taught his community of followers to love and care for children. He told his disciples to receive children in his name. He told them to not despise children, as is so often the characteristic of modern culture. He praised children as examples of having the faith we should try to achieve. And it's important to note that he wasn't just speaking to parents about their relationships with their children. He placed a special emphasis on the community of believers, providing safe spaces for children in a scary world. So what can those of us whose good fortune has provided mental health or whose own recovery from mental health challenges has made us uniquely equipped to show compassion and understanding? What can all of us do to care for this vulnerable population? One, to leaders who care for children at their church in an official capacity, say children's director, have systems and processes in place that keep the wolves away from these little sheep. Churches are hotbeds of abuse. As much as we don't want to admit it, we have so often failed to recognize and own this reality. The church can be such a trusting place that we don't have safeguards against those who would exploit our trust. We oftentimes look outside the church and point fingers at people groups which we can claim to be dangerous to our kids, but are often unwilling to notice that it is not rare to see that children are being abused in a variety of faith community contexts. But we must notice it. One of the ways that we can buffer against this type of abuse is ensuring that children in our care, in Sunday school or kids' church or whatever you do or call it, are never alone with one adult volunteer. I know, what a sad reality, but we need that level of accountability and security. Ensuring that children at church are with two or more adults at all times, and even ensuring that those adults are not couples, because partners can be enablers of abuse. Kids need to know that when they're in the church's care, they are physically safe. Two, they also need to know that they are emotionally safe. We should all, always keep an eye out for the way our brothers and sisters in Christ talk to children. Are they warm, welcoming, inviting, or are they constantly looking for things to criticize? I remember a church where I was serving with youth, mostly underprivileged. Sadly, the adults in that church showed little interest in providing a positive experience for these kids. Instead, complaining constantly about actions they disapproved of. Yelling at kids for holding the door open for someone for too long because it let the AC out. Complaining about the way the youth dressed. Complaining about the fact that so many of their parents weren't believers or at church or giving. Or that the number of youth who attended the Wednesday night potluck was a serious issue because they were eating too much food and not contributing. Rather than taking joy in knowing that for some of these kids, this was the biggest meal they were going to eat that week, they were angry that children were taking from their own fortunate abundance. Creating positive experiences for kids in our churches means they should be able to be there and know that they are just as welcome as an adult who tithes generously and is always on their best behavior. Three, we need to know how to listen. It's not uncommon for we adult believers to be tempted to lecture. After all, we have a wealth of experience that youth do not. We really do have a lot to offer, but oftentimes, the best thing we can offer is an ear. There's some simple things I've learned over the years. Small children should not be loomed over. The imposing stature of an adult can create a negative experience. Sitting when we talk to them, kneeling down to their level, these things can create a sense of safety. Teen boys find it easier to talk when being sat next to rather than in front of, or when doing something like playing a video game together, and then asking the right kinds of questions. Not simple yes or no questions, such as, "Did you have a good week at school?" Because those will often be met with a yeah or a no. Try saying, "Tell me about school this week." Open questions like that allow for a multitude of answers. And the answers help us to know the kids in our communities. And to be known is a precious, powerful thing. Four, lastly, one of the best ways that we can help youth is to be educated in how to recognize the symptoms of a mental illness. One of the saddest things we've ever seen over and over again are adults who were once kids in the church who walked away from it. Because when their symptoms of depression, anxiety, OCD, ADD, bipolar disorder became evident, the adults and leaders in these communities purely saw character issues. You've heard the saying, when all you have is a hammer, everything becomes a nail. Well, when all you have is a spiritual understanding of reality, rather than a holistic understanding of God's created beings, then everything becomes a faith issue. We sometimes beat kids over the head with a Bible when we should be connecting them with appropriate care. So, my fellow fortunate faithful, you have what it takes as members of faith communities to create spaces that are physically and emotionally safe for children. Places that are fun, engaging, places where they can encounter the gospel, places where they can be known and loved as Christ knows and loves them. And in creating these spaces, we know that we can reduce rates of future substance abuse, homelessness, suicide, imprisonment, divorce, and just mental illness in general. I would love nothing more than for Bless This Brain to go away someday in the future. And it can, when all churches become places of abundant, positive childhood experiences. Experiences which can create buffers against future mental health challenges, despite whether the kid comes from a healthy home or not. If you're interested in receiving mental health first aid so that you can know how to recognize the symptoms that I just discussed, go to blessthisbrain.com, click the link that says newsletter, and sign up the next time we have one of these classes, whether in person in Tucson or remotely. You'll know about it. With that, Lord, for the good of the children you've placed in our care and for your glory, help us bless these kids' brains. Thanks for listening. If you found this episode helpful, consider following, rating, and reviewing wherever you listen. That'll help people find the podcast. And if you're interested in the services that we offer at Bless This Brain, everything from mental health first aid trainings for churches to remote and in-person peer support groups and much, much more, just visit blessthisbrain.com. Until next time.